We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7, sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember, you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out over at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew Mertig. And it is Friday, and so we are back, and we're excited to be here to talk about the Green Bay Packers once again.
Yeah, it is. It's great to be back, Kyle. I was in Las Vegas for most of this past week, so you know what I was doing there. I was getting ready for the 2022 NFL Draft, doing a little scouting of the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know what else I would have been doing while I was there, so those must be the only two things that I could explain.
Just checking out the franchise for Aaron Rodgers, his future franchise in Oakland. Las Vegas, sorry. Sorry, I did it even when you weren't even in Oakland. My gosh.
But I don't know how to respond to that, except that I'm very upset with you to start the show.
Did you get to see the new stadium?
Just on a drive-by, yeah. Is it incredible? On the way from and to the airport. It looks pretty nice from a distance, yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty impressive. All right, well, we're all jealous that you spent some time in Las Vegas. You had to flaunt that here just to start the show. Has nothing to do with what the people tuned in for today, Andrew, but we are jealous you've accomplished that. But on the show today,
people don't like when we talk about personal stuff. I've learned that from our ratings. Yeah,
you want to talk about our takes on fast food or desserts or something to start the show? Pop-Tarts?
Maybe jersey colors?
Yeah, numbers and numbers. They love numbers. Okay, so to start the show for real today, we wanted to do something a little bit different today. There has been so much noise around this Aaron Rodgers situation that it's kind of nauseating, as much as we are all keeping, you know, in tune with all of that. We're very interested, but it's kind of clouded the rest of the offseason for us. But there is really a lot to be excited about with this Green Bay Packers team, and we should be incredibly intrigued by this roster going into 2021. And that goes way, way beyond this quarterback position that we seemed obsessed with. We're in the middle of OTAs right now. We're hearing from coaches. We're hearing from players. And you're starting to get some hints at what could be a little bit different for this coming season. And so today, we wanted to talk about some things, position groups that really have our attention right now. We'll continue to keep our eye on these things as we move throughout the offseason. But right now, these are some position groups that really have piqued our curiosity, especially as we get further into the offseason. So, Andrew, you want to kick us off with what has your attention right now?
Yeah, so I wanted to get started with wide receivers. And as much as I'm tempted to think wide receivers are going to look largely the same, because maybe the top of the depth chart does look very similar to 2020, I think this position group as a whole could look very different. And so, you know, certainly I think the place that you start is with the guys that are slam dunks to make the roster. You have Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Amari Rodgers, Alan Lazard, right? We certainly expect Adams to continue to be one of the league's best, whoever the quarterback ends up being. MVS seems poised to break out, or seemed poised to break out at the end of last season. Andy's going into a contract year, so I really have a sneaking suspicion he's going to make the Packers perceived, you know, quote, need at wide receiver seem kind of silly. I think Amari Rodgers has an immediate role as a returner and that gadget kind of player, and I think he provides an upgrade to both of those. Alan Lazard's blocking alone makes him a contributor, but as a wide receiver three, he's an incredibly valuable asset. So that's four players in a position group that typically has been five deep. Now, maybe they make an exception and they keep six this year because Amari Rodgers has such versatility, but that still doesn't leave a lot of room for other players. So this next group is what I call, they have a chance. That's the title. So I have Equanimeous St. Brown and Devin Funchess. And, you know, Equanimeous certainly is talented. That some of the smartest people that I've ever heard on this podcast have said he might even be the most talented wide receiver on the roster. But he has not – you're supposed to laugh at that joke, Kyle.
I'm sorry.
You're not even paying attention. But he has not stayed healthy at all. And when he has been healthy, he just hasn't been super consistent. So that's going to make this journey to the roster for Equanimeous very difficult. And then, of course, you get to Devin Funchess. He opts out of last season, and he's coming off a 2019 campaign with Indy that was kind of disappointing, honestly. And he was actually really productive in Carolina the year before that, and the Packers will hope for a return in that form where, you know, he really should be very fresh coming into 2021. But if one of those two players, Equanimeous or Funchess, fails to seize the opportunity, or if there's an injury, there's a group right behind them fighting for roster spots. And then it's ever so important practice squad spots. And I'm going to call this group the, it would take a really good camp / preseason. That's their title. But you have guys like Reggie Begelton, Malik Taylor, Juwan Winfrey, and then a couple of others that you may not know as much about, Chris Blair and the undrafted rookie Bailey Gaither, that I think all have some upside. And we've definitely seen wide receivers sort of come out of nowhere on this Green Bay team before and then grab that last roster spot or find their way onto the practice squad and then be able to develop as the season goes on, build a relationship with the quarterback, and then find their way onto the field. And, you know, with the Packers having so many impending free agents, a.k.a. basically the whole wide receiver room, there is going to be some room for some of these young guys to not only stick around this year as a potential practice squad player, but then maybe have a role moving forward into the future of this Green Bay Packers organization. But there is one name I didn't mention, Kyle, and I think you have an update about that.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to mention and not just blow by Mr. DeAndre Tompkins. I think the Packers added this guy, hoping that Aaron Rodgers may just be scrolling Twitter and see that they signed a receiver named DeAndre Tompkins. Maybe think it was DeAndre Hopkins or something along those lines. But Wednesday night, this was a signing that the Packers dropped. Tompkins is 5'11", 188 pounds. He's a former undrafted free agent from Penn State who did run a 4.3 in the 40. So he's got some of that speed. And being sub 6 foot, I think some would assume that he's kind of more of a slot player. But he spent the majority of his time outside at Penn State. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay there in the NFL. But he also had 66 punt return attempts at Penn State, two of which went for touchdowns. So some special teams intrigue possibly here with DeAndre Tompkins. An interesting addition that they made this week. So lots to like maybe about, you know, somebody who's a little bit different. He's not that big, tall receiver that they have plenty of. But the reason, Andrew, the reason that I did not laugh at your jokes, normally that's because they're not funny. But this time I was Googling the announced roster from last year after final cuts, just because I was curious. They did keep just five wide receivers, as you alluded to. Traditionally, Matt LaFleur offenses that he's been a part of as far back as Atlanta and some of those other teams, they keep five, max of six wide receivers. So this is something that I think we can expect. But what was so interesting last year was that last name was Malik Taylor. And I remember how surprised we were when that news dropped. There were some other names that we thought, you know, obviously Jake Kumerow, and that is a bigger name now in the news, as that's been reported to be, you know, upsetting to Rodgers or whatever you make of that. Darius Shepherd, and then Reggie Bagleton, all these, and Malik Turner. We thought maybe Malik Turner was even ahead of Malik Taylor. So you mentioned Taylor, Malik, as someone who is, you know, kind of in that, quote, it would take a really good camp or preseason category. I am curious to see how Malik Taylor progresses, because the Packers did kind of seem obsessed with him when it didn't maybe even seem warranted from what we'd seen, obviously, without a preseason last year. It's hard to tell, but an interesting name to keep an eye on for Malik Taylor and his progression and those kinds of things. I did want to ask you one other question, okay? Devin Funchess, big name. Made his trip, you know, his tour around the NFL. If he comes back this year and the quarterback is Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers, let's just say, is there a chance that he has better chemistry with Jordan Love than if Aaron Rodgers comes back and he already has established chemistry with some of these other guys?
I guess in a theoretical world, I mean, that's always a possibility. We've seen plenty of quarterbacks who just have really good chemistry, and those players tend to make the team over the players that they don't have.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Good chemistry with, and often that leads them to be more productive. I'm just not sure that, I mean, it would be one thing if Funchess had showed up to OTAs to try to develop that relationship with Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think he's really missing out on an opportunity here. And your point is a good one. I do just tend to assume that a veteran wide receiver who has starting experience in the NFL and has been, quite frankly, pretty productive throughout his career, is going to have an upper hand. But you never know. You never know how that year off is going to, you know, treat somebody. You don't know what he's going to come in with. You don't know what kind of fit he is in this offense. Certainly you look at Devin Funchess and, you know, his draft pedigree, and you think this guy could be a more talented version of Alan Lazard, but that doesn't always mean that it's going to happen and that it's going to work out.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to say that. And I'm just curious, you know, to see how it plays out. Obviously, we have a lot to learn probably in the next couple weeks after we round the turn into June, after June 1st, and we kind of get a feel for how maybe some of this Rodgers Love stuff is going to play out. And when we actually do get to camp, things may all go away and we may fall back into that chemistry that Rodgers has with some of these other guys. But interesting conversation, Andrew, with those wide receivers. Lots to look forward to over the course of the summer and into preseason. But one group that really has me intrigued is the inside linebackers. And I know that's maybe not a sexy position to pick, but I feel like there are so many variables in projecting how this group works out heading into 2021, just because Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes are both second-year players. Both showed incredible promise last season, and I think everyone wants to see one of those guys, or maybe even both of those guys, take that second-year leap. But it's just so hard to project it to go that way. Of course, there's a lot that can happen, and a second offseason is going to be huge for those guys. I do think it's really worth noting that Andy Herman and others pointed out that it was Chris Barnes playing with the ones in OTAs this week. So absolutely good for Barnes, who really made the most of his opportunities and as an undrafted free agent guy and hasn't looked back since arriving in Green Bay. And then we have to mention that Oren Burks is back focusing at the inside linebacker position. We know, of course, the Packers did some weird experimenting with him last year as an edge player, but they have him back inside. And it's kind of hard to see a player like Burks taking that late career jump and being someone that the Packers would trust as a starter. I do think in Joe Barry's defense, with Joe Barry's presence, that does give him a little bit more of a shot to go ahead and start over, especially with the way that Barry seems to value athleticism at a premium. So you never know. That might be enough for Mr. Oren Burks to get another head start on his career and just really kick things off. But you sprinkle Ty Summers in there, along with Isaiah McDuffie. There's a lot of guys with a chance to emerge. But I think the biggest reason that this inside linebacker group is intriguing to me is because Brian Gutekunst admitted that it's a position that they strongly considered upgrading early in the draft, and even mentioned that they might need to turn to the free agent market. And since most of these linebackers are present at OTAs, I think it'll be interesting in the coming days to see if the Packers make a move in free agency, because Joe Barry is going to have a chance to get his eyes on this group, basically the whole thing. And if he likes what he sees, he may say, you know, we're good to go. But if he feels like nobody's really stepping up and no one's going to be, quote, the guy, then I think we could see him go to Goody and say, hey, man, look, we got to get some help in the middle of this defense. We got to get a little bit more athletic there. So I'm curious to see what happens, because we already know it's been discussed. It's not like they're hiding this. They've discussed that this is an area that they may want to improve. So curious to see if they make some movement there in the coming days.
Yeah, and one interesting thing is Joe Barry's linebackers for the Rams last year, the starters were Troy Reader and Kenny Young. So, I mean,
some superstars.
Right. Like, I mean, they're not names that many people know. And obviously, you know, within that defense, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey certainly draw a lot of attention away from some of the other players. But the fact that you're able to make a serviceable defense with players that are kind of viewed as league average, I think gives you a little bit of sense that, you know, those players, especially Chris Barnes, could be ready to take that next step this upcoming year.
And Corey Littleton was there two seasons ago, right? And then had his big season before going to Oakland, and he wasn't quite the player.
You said Oakland again.
I did it again. I'm so old. Las Vegas. My goodness. So, you know, he makes the transition to Las Vegas. Wasn't maybe the player that they paid for. Not that he was a bad player, but a lot of people have credited that system that the Rams run with maybe giving him the platform to get paid the way that he did. So maybe we see a little bit of that with some of these young emerging linebackers for the Packers as well. That'd be pretty exciting.
And it's totally fine to call Corey Littleton a bad player because he was atrocious last year. So the next position that I wanted to concentrate on is running back. And to me, this is in a really interesting position group, even though we likely know two of the three roster positions already, right? Like, we know A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, they're making the team. But that third spot is going to be really interesting. You have guy like Kylin Hill, who we talked about last week with Dan Dahlke. You have Patrick Taylor, Mike Weber, and oh, don't forget, Dexter Williams is still on this team. They're going to make for some really fun storylines in training camp. But, you know, one thing to always keep in mind about running back, you're always one injury away from that number three guy and them having to play a really significant role. Because once they get bumped up from three to two, you're playing. And we've seen plenty of teams dipping into running back four and five during the season. Obviously, Jordan Love is the biggest story of the preseason, and that's by a landslide. But this battle will be a close second for me. And that is to see what happens in the depth of the running back position. One other thing to note, there are no true fullbacks on this roster. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
All right. So,
given Matt LaFleur's scheme.
Yeah. And so we think then, I mean, I think that speaks to maybe the way that they may see that what Josiah DeGuara could do, I guess, because you don't think that they probably need a full-time fullback, but you would imagine that they would want some guys who could do some of those kind of things.
It's just curious to me with Kyle Juszczyk in San Francisco. I know he's one of a kind. Like, there's no other fullback in the league that's like him, but they didn't even pretend to prioritize that. You know, they're not bringing in a UDFA or anybody else. It's kind of like Josiah DeGuara, Dominique Daphne.
Yeah.
We'll maybe Jay Sternberger, like we'll see what we have and we'll just throw some H-backs around there.
I was just going to mention Daphne. I'm glad you mentioned his name, that, like, you know, we just got a little bit of taste of him last year. Maybe that's something that, like, he can kind of grow into that role along with DeGuara. But interesting note there. I was just going to throw out, so it's interesting, they're posting all of the squad pictures, right? All the position groups at OTAs. And it was funny to me, they took the picture of the running back group, and it's all the guys you expect to make the team on, I think, the right side. And then there's like a gap. And then it's like Mike Weber and Dexter Williams are like all the way over on the left. And it's almost like they did that so they could like just crop the picture later when obviously we hope those guys have a great preseason and off season and stuff. But, and it sounds like Dexter Williams came in great shape. So maybe he'll have a resurgence in his career and those kinds of things. But I just laughed because it was like they left that so that they could, you know, use that for future photos and not have those guys mixed in. But anyway, let's move on to the defensive tackle position. This is the other group that I really can't wait to watch over the offseason and into training camp. Of course, the preseason is going to be really, really fun with this defensive line group too. But the part that I think is really, really interesting is because the Packers did so little to address this position in the offseason. I think everybody had it pretty high on the priority list, and then there was just not a lot of movement. And TJ Slayton is really exciting, but that feels like a pick for the future. And then, of course, everyone had all but bought a plane ticket for Dean Lowry out of Green Bay, assuming that he was basically already cut. Well, you know, from yesterday's show, the Pack-A-Day podcast talked about the Packers restructured his deal this week, and so he will be sticking around. It almost sounded like it would even be hard for the Packers to, or less desirable at least for them to release him even next year. So interesting the way that the Packers continue to value Dean Lowry. And then it was interesting to me that it came out this week that Kenny Clark has slimmed down a little bit. And so he's, you know, a little bit of a different player maybe this year than he would be last year as far as his weight. And Coach Barry is trying to get these guys to play at a weight that allows them to be their fastest and their most explosive. And we've seen Kenny do a lot of work in the middle of the defense. He took on more double teams last year. But I've seen multiple people point out that Joe Barry's probably going to have these defensive linemen doing a little bit more penetrating by design. Of course, they are still going to take on their fair share of double teams just by virtue of the scheme that they run. But they're going to be less responsible for multiple gaps and more intent on getting upfield, which is kind of exciting to think about. So shout out to Ross Uglum, who pointed out that Kingsley Keke is kind of an ideal fit for Joe Barry and really likes his fit as that four-eye defender, someone who's going to line up just inside of the offensive tackle. So, of course, Kenny Clark, you can put just about anywhere. He's going to be dangerous in a penetrating role. He can also play the nose. And so when Slayton does come to a place where he is ready to play, I think it's really exciting to think that you could have Slayton kind of playing that nose position and then potentially Clark and Keke on the field at the same time playing those four-eye spots. So it could be a really fun group. I think it's going to take a while for it to gel and for all these guys to be ready. But maybe this defense, this defensive line, is one that's really ready to contribute and be a little bit better than it was in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and as hard as it is to believe, it's going to be June by the time we record our next show, and we are really kind of sneaking close to training camp. We'll be, you know, less than a couple months away from that, and so a lot of exciting positional groups to watch, and we just wanted to share four of them that we were really excited about today. And this is the rarest of rare, Kyle. We almost hit 20 minutes today.
It is a rare occasion where we shut up before we go over our time.
We kept it succinct, and so we will continue to do that. But so that is all the time that we have today. This has been the Pack a Day Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter at @Packer_pundit. And you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Please remember to also follow at Pack a Day Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the podcast if you like what we're doing. You can catch Kyle and myself every single Friday, and we'll be back next week with more off-season coverage. And in the coming weeks, we have some really fun guests that are lining up. So be sure to tune in for that. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember. Go, hey, go!